Question. God has bestowed material wealth and comfort, status and prestige, upon some people, but poverty, misery, and affliction upon others. Does this mean that God has preferred those who are wealthy, or that those who are poor are really worse off in evil? What is the meaning behind such differences? Answer. Such questions should only be put if one sincerely desires to learn the divine reasoning behind the existence of such differences. To question the divine decree in any other spirit is sinful. God bestows upon whom He wills material wealth and in the way that He pleases. Similarly, He bestows utter poverty upon whom He wills and in the way that He pleases. For example, wealth may pass through inheritance from one part of a family to another, so that a once poor individual becomes better off. There are also certain abilities or personal traits, such as intelligence, shrewdness, and acumen in the management of wealth, and so on, which are inherited genetically. And yet, by God, there are individuals who may be capable of managing wealth, position, and opportunity, but whose circumstances deny them any access to these. The prophet is reported to have said that God bestows the goods of this world upon whom He pleases, but knowledge, or ilm, upon those who petition Him for that. This hadith, although defectively transmitted, is a most significant one. Clearly, material possessions should not be seen as necessarily a good in themselves. God sometimes bestows material security and happiness upon those who petition Him for such things, but sometimes He does not. The truth is that there is good in His bestowing what He bestows, be it wealth or poverty. For the faithful individual who does good deeds and is charitable with what He has been given to him or her, wealth is a means of good. If, however, the individual is of weak faith and has strayed from the path of right action and charity, wealth becomes a means of evil. Similarly, for such an individual who has deserted the path of right action, poverty may be a means of unbelief, determining that, on each day, that person inwardly or outwardly rebels against God. Whoever does not submit heart, mind, and soul wholly to God, whoever does not try sincerely to act upon the teachings of Islam, will find that whatever level of wealth he or she owns will become a means of distress, a severe and demanding test. It is not poverty itself which is the good, rather the state of mind which has disciplined the worldly self and set its sights upon the eternal life. Poverty may indeed be a means to achieve that state of mind, but in some people, poverty can be an occasion for inward distress and rancor and ingratitude towards God, which is a root of unbelief. Similarly, affluence and material security may delude certain people into feelings of pride and self-esteem, so that they neglect both the needs of their fellow human beings and their debt to God. Their arrogance and their ingratitude are likewise a root of unbelief. The surest way for a believer, therefore, is to understand that whatever God has given, He has given in order to perfect that individual in the best way. Whatever his or her circumstances, the believer should strive to improve the welfare of fellow human beings and to trust inwardly and outwardly in the Almighty and All-Merciful. The best attitude to all the circumstances of this world, which is only a halting place on the way to our everlasting destination, is well expressed in this brief poem. I accept, my Lord, whatever comes to me from You, for whatever comes to me from You is my good, whether a robe of honor comes or a shroud, whether a sharp thorn or a and, to the degree possible, for mankind, understood.